Tonight we are on one of the most evangelistic books in the Old Testament. It's the book of Jonah. So let's go to God in prayer as we consider this book and all the richness that God has placed in this book. Father, we ask that you continue, O God, to open our hearts and our minds by the Spirit that you have sent, the Holy Spirit. Let the aspect of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation enlighten each heart and each mind that is here. Father, you know our desires, you know our strengths, you know our weaknesses, you know everything about us. And you know, Father God, the destiny of everyone seated here in this place. And you know, O God, the destiny of those who are under the sound of my voice. Father, we ask that tonight, as we consider your word, you grant us, by your mercy, O Lord, that we will have an understanding, a greater understanding and experience of your attribute of mercy tonight. But you have said that you have placed a throne that is called the throne of mercy, by which we must enter boldly. Father, we know mercy is in your very heart, in your very being. And we have caught only a glimpse, a small little bright lining of that which is the essence of your being. So tonight, Father, we ask that more light will shine upon our hearts and our lives, that we may understand, that we may experience your mercy. That hearts will be lifted up, minds will be enlightened, bodies will be healed, souls will be mended. We ask, O God, that as we sit in your very presence, manifest yourself tonight. Manifest your presence, manifest your love, manifest your mercy. We love you, Father God. And we seek, O Father, to glorify you. We seek to bring all men to love you, to know you, to worship you. And we ask, O God, that you receive all the glory that is due unto you. And we promise, O God, that in all that you do, we give you, we render to you all the glory, all the worship and honor that is due to you. It's our covenant with you, O God. We thank you, Father. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Jonah is one of the most controversial books among scholars, especially among the liberal scholars, because the liberal scholars don't believe that this book is true. They think that it's just a small little side story, a myth or an allegory that is not actually true. But then we realize that this prophet called Jonah, the son of Amittai, is a real person. And we will give you, first of all, evidences from the Bible. Let the Bible speak for itself. Why we believe that Jonah is a real person and that this incident actually occurred. I believe it was among many liberal scholars, the early scholars didn't believe that such a thing could be possible. They asked questions like, how can a man go inside the belly of a fish and come out after 3 days and survive? Somehow in 1891, there was an incident recorded in a secular history about a man who was in a ship. The name of the ship was a phrase, but it has a word star inside. And I remember the date, but I forgot the ship's name. It was 1891. The man's name, I believe, was James, one of the sailors on the ship. And he fell overboard, and as they were harpooning a whale, the whale swallowed him. In fact, two sailors fell off the ship. And those of you want to know where the source of information is, you can research into evangelical books like the one by Explorer Book, James, J. Cyril Baxter have a record of that, and some other historical records. It's also recorded in secular history by different books that such a thing has actually occurred. And two sailors fell overboard, one drowned, and they couldn't find the other. Somehow or other, when they harpooned the whale and pulled the whale up, as they were cutting the whale up into small little sections, they saw a movement, signs of life. And when they cut open the inner belly, out came the missing sailor. His name though was James, not Popeye. And he was in a semi-conscious state, and the captain of the ship took care of him. After 2 weeks, he revived. Somehow his skin was bleached white. We could call him Mr. Snow White. And bleached white, and his appearance was altered a bit because of the gastric juices of the ship. And so there was an actual gastric juices of the whale. Praise the Lord. Just checking whether he's still here. And so we have this incident that occurred. After that, scholars began to believe that it's possible. So, well, if that happened, that is possible that it may have happened to Jonah, although the Bible does not actually state that it's a whale. The Hebrew word actually just says a big fish. So most people today think that it is a whale because it's the most possible animal. Very few would thought that it was a giant shark, because Jonah would have been a human hamburger by that time. And we are not sure. So those things that we're not sure, we cannot be exact. But the Hebrew word just says a big fish. Perhaps it was a fish in existence those times, but most probably it's a whale. Even the New Testament record in Matthew 12 states, although it's translated as a whale, nobody is certain what the reference of the fish is, the species. Most probably it is a whale, which is why in some translation they just put the word whale there. And it is quite possible. But we are not sure how altered Jonah's countenance was when he came out. But we do know that these possibilities are now more acceptable after people have seen these natural incidences. Here we have the story of Jonah. And the main reason why people find it hard to accept is because of being swallowed by the whale or the fish for three days and three nights. But the Bible records that Jonah also has a prophetic ministry beyond the book of Jonah. Remember that when we are studying here the minor prophets are not minor because they are small. They are minor because their books are short. They may have been very prominent prophets. And the major prophets that we classify in our study are called major prophets because they're just slightly long-winded. So you can go back and you can classify ministers whether they are major ministers or minor ministers. Because of my slightly longer than 1 hour sermons, I probably stay among the majors. Once in a while, I like to be a minor. Right? And only last Sunday, the Spirit of God moved, and we have never had it happen at all in 6 years, but the Spirit of God moved and the Lord said, testimony time. And like 6 years the people haven't testified, and testimony time came, they took 1.5 hours. And so I preached a 20-minute sermon. But you never know, you just flow along with the Holy Spirit. But there's such a need of the Word, which is why we are taking time to teach the Word in this series. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 14, 2 Kings 14, there is a record of Jonah, seeing Jonah the son of Amittai, and his prophecies. We have a record of fulfillment of his prophecies, but not a record of specifically the details of the prophecy. In verse 25 and 26, he says there, Jeroboam the second, he restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of the Araba. According to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken to his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath Hepher. For the Lord saw that the affliction of Israel was very bitter, and whether born or free, there was no helper for Israel. Here's a record about the ministry of a person called Jonah, the son of Amittai. And they're actually the same person. So we know that Jonah did not just have one prophecy in his lifetime to the Ninevites. But Jonah actually has many other prophecies. In fact, the prophet Jonah came up at the close or at the end of Elisha's ministry. We know all the prominent men of God. There was Samuel, and he started the kingly ministry. He ordained King Saul, and he ordained David, etc. And after Samuel the prophet, he started a school of prophets. From that school of prophets, Elijah somehow became the head of the school of prophets. After Elijah was Elisha. After Elisha was many bands of prophets. Among the bands of prophets that arose at the close of Elisha's ministry was Jonah, the son of Amittai. Apparently, he was also a northern prophet. That he functioned in his ministry to the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, not the southern kingdom. And Jonah prophesied, apparently here in 2 Kings 14, that the northern kingdom will expand its boundaries. In fact, historical and archaeological records show us that during the reign of Jeroboam II, there was such an expansion of the kingdom of Israel, almost, not equal, but almost likened to the expansion of Solomon's and David's kingdom. It was a vast expansion, and it came because of the mercy of God. Interestingly, it came through the mouth of Jonah, the son of Amittai. So apparently some of these minor prophets have big roles in their lifetime, but we don't have the detailed records of all their prophecies. I'm sure prophets like Elijah and Elisha may have a lot of prophecies, but we have only a small, meager record of some of the things they did. Or take a person like Enoch, who lived in the time of the patriarchs. And we have no record of his prophetic ministry in Genesis. But the book of Jude records a prophecy about the second coming of Jesus from Enoch, the seventh from Adam. So we realize that what the Bible has are selected records inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they are recorded and placed together under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for a certain reason, which we are looking through as we study the Old Testament prophets. So our first reason for giving you why Jonah is a real person is because he is also mentioned in other parts of the Bible, like 2 Kings chapter 14. So they mention Jonah as a real person, not just a legend or an allegory or a myth. Secondly, a second big reason why we believe this book is actual, although it looks hard to believe, but it is a real book, is because Jesus himself quoted from Jonah, and he referred to Jonah as if Jonah was a real person. So if Jesus believes it, we can believe it. Good enough for us. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. The book of Matthew 12, Jesus quotes the incident of Jonah as significant. And he quotes it as if Jonah actually existed. He says in Matthew 12, verse 40 and 41, see, there were true Ninevites, and there was a real person called Jonah. Jesus says here in verse 40, Matthew 12, verse 40, 41, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, or in the center of the earth. The Bible tells us a lot of things that scientists have not discovered yet. The Bible tells us that in the center of the earth is where the location of a place called Hades, where the departed spirits of men are kept in prison.